All members of the State Affairs Committee are in attendance this morning. We were going to pick up where we left off at the last meeting, which was on page 11. We're going to pick up where we left off. However, during the yesterday and this morning, we've had quite a few pieces. We've had a position paper from APOC, which actually deeply disturbs me, in that the APOC has been online with us and have contributed to this particular bill. Yet they promulgated regulations without any regard for us working on the bill. Now, we've been working with the APOC together. This morning, I find a position paper that a lot of these things are just absolutely questionable to me, and I can't understand what the position of the APOC is, so it looks to me maybe that we better just do what we feel is comfortable in the committee for candidates, for the whole problem, and have the APOC conform to the way the legislature wants it. So as far as I'm concerned, it seems like our relationships have broken off severely.
Well,
Senator Ray.
Mr. Chairman, it comes down to this, is that when you have a dissatisfied employee or a group of employees that want to receive your directives and then do what you tell them, and then you get the new employees. That's all you say. If it's too much work for you, if you don't understand this, this is the way we want it. We're the statutory people. We're the people who make the laws. And here's the way we want it. And if you don't want to do it that way, find some other job.
Senator Fisher.
Mr. Chairman, I would suggest that APOC be requested to specifically indicate what sections they consider problems, because they, in their position paper, they list a whole series of changes, but they don't say whether they agree or disagree with those changes. And Mr. Chairman, I would suggest that we ask them to specifically comment on any item that they feel creates a problem or is undesirable, and make alternative suggestions, because this is not a very helpful or constructive kind of a position paper to get at this point. Yet they're the ones who will have to implement it, and I just assume not throw them any hand grenades that can be avoided at the same time. If it is just sort of crabbing by an agency, we ought to know exactly what it's about.
Well, we have tried to prevent the hand grenade throwing, as you put it, by calling in and working with the APOC, the director of it here in Anchorage, on every time we've done anything. And so far, we've gotten through the bill, and we've taken a great number of their considerations into consideration, and it looked like we were right on the path, and everyone was going to get together, and everything seemed to be fairly decent. Now we come with this, and it blows the whole thing right out of the water, so we just better continue what we were doing and let the chips fall where they may. I've had about a couple of phone calls already from people. Because they promulgated these regulations without any respect for this committee or the legislature whatsoever, and promulgated these new regulations, and right now they've got one that everybody's pretty upset about, that if you take a corporation, a parent organization, that no longer can any of the subsidiaries of that corporation give any money to a candidate. They're very upset about this thing. I'm not sure they had any public hearings on it, because these people were totally unaware of it. As with all of those regulations, I don't believe they had enough public input on the thing to be able to pass those things and approve them. And so, frankly, I don't know about the rest of the committee. I'm personally very upset. That's not much cooperation from an agency that we're trying to assist with. Senator Ray.
Well, Mr. Chairman, with due consideration, you know, it's the same thing in your own family. If you have an unruly child, you sit down and ask what the problem is, and if they continue to be recalcitrant, then that's apparently what these people are pushing, and then you either cut them loose or you take some other kind of disciplinary action. That's all. I don't think even this. I don't want to put us into the position of being a chamberlain.
I understand. Thank you. Also, I'm aware of that I don't feel, and many other people have felt, there have not been notification of meetings, of hearings, in advance enough to get enough people in there to be able to give input in the public. And secondly, I haven't seen an annual report required by law to put in, and I'm wondering what's happening. Are the agency by themselves, with no direction, with no oversight, with no nothing? If that be the case, then I think we'd better sit here and put some teeth into this thing.
With the Taylor and Donald size to fit the size of the deal, you know.
Well, anyway, let us. I'm not going to get into this. I'm not going to get into this position paper at all at this point in time. I'd like to continue with what we're doing. We made good progress the last time we met, and hopefully we can continue it. Today we are on page 11. Reports by political interest groups, contributions, loans, and expenditures. We are into that loan. Would you care to do? Mr. Gross, go into that loan situation again. I think we did have some questions, rebuttals.
What page are we on?
We're on page 11. Like other than the families and so on and so forth.
Well, as I understood the committee, the desire was that we prohibit any loans being made to either political interest, by political interest group, or by individuals to a campaign. I'm stating this correctly, except by members, by the candidate himself or by members of the immediate family. That was my understanding of what the committee wanted to do.
Now, is there any problem with that?
Well,
constitutionally or otherwise?
Well, it's never been done before, to my knowledge. I'm not aware of any other legislation that does it. If you can justify it under the theory that a loan is somehow worse than a contribution itself, you know, you can make it stand up. If you can't, if the court subsequently decides that a loan is no worse than making a direct contribution, then there's going to be no justification for prohibiting them and allowing contributions. But, you know, I can't tell you on the face that it's illegal. It's just very different. So, but I'm not, remember, the problem you're going to run into is this, that there are going to be loans to candidates by, say, banks, by friends, for one thing or another. And they're going to claim that they're not for the purpose of electing the candidate, that what they are is a business transaction between the candidate and another person. Then the candidate loans money to his own campaign, or takes that money and gives it to his own campaign. So you're going to get into very difficult problems as to whether or not loans are made for the purpose of getting somebody elected, in which case their contribution, or just as a straight business transaction, which I don't think you could prohibit. You're going to have to require reporting of loans, if for no other reason, to keep track as to which are business and which aren't. You're not going to reduce the... There's still, if any loan is made to a candidate, it's going to have to be reported, even though it is prohibited. I mean, you can make a loan to a candidate as a business loan. You can't make a loan to his campaign, right? But the candidate, to make sure that there's not a dummy transaction being set up, is going to have to report all loans he receives to himself during the year to make sure that he's not getting some gimmick to get into his campaign. It complicates things a little bit.
Okay.
It can be written.
Yeah. If we could digress for just a second. Now, I'm reading this memorandum here. It's from the Attorney General's office, from some assistant attorney general, saying that, as the commission is well aware, the district attorney's office are swamped with criminal cases involving injury to personal property. So what they're saying is that it would undermine the idea, it decreases the probability of enforcement action that will actually take place. In other words, they're saying that they don't want to have anything to do with it. They'd rather see
the bottom line is that if you look at the bottom of the page 3, the best rough estimate made now is about $190,000. That's for cost, but this does not include the figures for investigative services and state troopers. So now you're looking at probably another $300,000. So what this really means to me is that they're putting this in so that we will consider the fact that's too much money and give all of the investigatory, all of the they're going to be the judge, the jury, and the hangman. And I don't think that's what APOC is all about.
Some of us, Mr. Chairman, believe the APOC should be a registration office only. And you register, and it should be a repository for campaign literature that you have, or campaign expenses for each individual candidate. But if any legal action should be taken, it should be taken by the Department of Law, who's that's their basic function. I always thought.
I'm wondering with the felony situation if we ought to go for felonies and. Only in the case that we'll say knowingly, deliberately, all the rest of that stuff, committed a crime. Well, not filing a report certainly shouldn't be a crime or a felony or...
Maybe it's a suggestion, Mr. Chairman. Maybe we should ask the Attorney General himself to come down and have a little confab with him and see exactly what he says about it. This is some guy that works up there.
Well, do you want the gentleman that actually wrote the regulations or approved the regulations... Mr. Monkman, and he's the one that also put this one on. Yes, it was. Do we want him down here, or do you want the Attorney General himself?
The main guy you'd want to talk to would be Mr. Brown, I imagine, and ask him what the real problem is, if they are tired of their function.
Mr. Gross.
I think Monkman is the attorney who's been working on the VICO case, and has been probably working with the commission on this bill. I'm a little concerned simply because, you know, this is the first time I've seen this, and you know, we've made it a point all through this drafting process to work with the commission and with the department, you know, all the state agencies.
It's like a collusion between...
Well, it sort of like came out of the blue.
Well, in addition to this, the APOC has had the services of the Assistant Attorney General right there all the time and conferred with them constantly, and all of a sudden here comes this roadblock. I'm questioning the motives of this whole thing. Now, I would like to... I'd like to get to the bottom of this thing right away and get on the right track. Does the committee have any objection to having Mr. Brown and Mr. Monkman come down?
Mr. Chairman, I would like to suggest that we go through the bill first and then have them do it. I'd like for us to at least get through the issues that we're concerned with, that we have studied, what we have... our own views, what we've heard from the public. It seems to me that, for instance, the chairman's amendments and some of the changes that we need to make ought to be done with before we get involved in listening to the AG's office or anybody else.
Senator Kelly.
Mr. Chairman, I love this sentence. I've got to point it out. The bill is cleverly worded with very complex interactions between different sections. Shame on you, Andrew.
I wish I could take credit, Senator, for any cleverness is inadvertent.
Keep that for your next resume.
Smacks of duplicity of some kind, like we're trying to do something.
We were in many cases, and you all know it, tried to clarify it, tried to keep our language simple as we possibly could. And I can assure you that the Attorney General, Mr. Monkman, will be in attendance at the next meeting, at the very next meeting that we do have. So let us put aside this these two new communications and go on with what we were, the sensible manner in which we were going. Back to page 11.
That's terrible.
Of course it is, but we'll get to that. Okay, we're on page 11. You were in the middle of explaining this situation on loans to...
I think I finished it. I would say this, that, you know, the bill is just one more fit for not shaping, and that is that the bill is making major enough changes as it is, and, you know, we're all starting to show up now, I gather. The entrenched people are starting to get a little antsy about the changes that are being made. And, you know, I don't see the change on the loans as being a significant change. If the committee feels differently, obviously, then we wish to make it. But otherwise, I don't think maybe it's necessary to make that kind of an additional change.
Was there, did we talk about dropping that section? We didn't, did we?
You've talked about, as I understood, what the committee was talking about last time was simply prohibiting contributions in the form of loans. That you could not get a loan to your campaign which had to be paid back. Right now, that's defined as a contribution. And the committee was saying that's simply prohibited. As I understood. Is that correct?
Yes.
Senator.
Yeah. To refresh everybody's memory, one of the biggest complaints by the media in the last campaign was the idea that there were loans going back and forth. First of all, some guy was loaning money and they couldn't make a determination whether the loan was legal or not. And there was a lot of charges and countercharges, and there was a kind of a heyday in the media about who was giving the money and why they were doing all that. So it would seem to me that's a problem area, so why not just eliminate the problem? So that's what we're trying to do.
I think what you're talking about is, I mean, let's be specific, the loan from Perry Green to, say, Bill Sheffield's campaign. This isn't going to stop that, Senator Ray, because as I understand what the APOC decided anyway, it was that this was a standard business loan between Perry Green and Bill Sheffield. Then, you know, that it was had to be paid back, it was interest, one thing or another. And he could have used the money for anything he wanted. Then Sheffield turned around and put money in his campaign. Now, I mean, whether you believe that or not, that I think is, you know, the position that the APOC took. If that is the case, that the Green loaned Sheffield X amount of money without any conditions about that it go into the campaign or one thing or another, this bill won't prohibit that. Because it won't be a loan to the campaign. It'll be a loan to an individual under a business set of circumstances.
Mr. Chairman, let's quit talking about lawyer talk and how you look at it and how this guy's going to look at it and how somebody, the public looks at it and we look at it.
Okay,
and if the guy is going to be a crook, he's going to be a crook. There's nothing that's in this whole thing that's going to keep the guy from being a crook.
Agreed.
All right. That's one thing, though, that we can eliminate that part of the whole section so that there's never any argument about whether the guy got a loan or what he's going to do with the money or anything else.
Bill, we're just trying to clarify exactly what it is you want to figure out. That's all. For instance, if in the middle of the campaign you get a mortgage on your house from a bank, and a bank lends you $20,000 on the security of your house, pledged for the mortgage, are you going to prohibit putting that $20,000 in your campaign?
That's what I asked you the other day when I was talking about corporations, whether there was a technicality to keep a bank from lending you money. And you said, no, that was all right.
It is, but I mean, that's...
Well, let's not keep arguing over and over now. You keep mincing on this and chewing on it and arguing about it. Let's continue and go on. We said, as clear as I can make a determination, it's the committee's feeling that we want you to do this thing the way we said it. And now that's the end of the argument, I would imagine.
Well, now, that doesn't answer the question.
What?
Do you want it that if I'm in a campaign and I go to the bank and I pledge my house and I take $20,000 and that I can't use that money to put into my campaign?
I thought it says that you can lend yourself the money. Did you say that already?
All right. That's how about now if but I'm borrowing it from a bank. I mean, it isn't like I've given my campaign my own money that I already had and then the campaign owes it back to me. I went and borrowed it personally from somebody else. Then I gave it to my campaign.
But you were the person that's making the instrument. You're loaning it to yourself for whatever reason, for however you raise the money. I understand you, and you're very cleverly worded, with very complex interactions. Now, okay. Cut out the nonsense. Let's go on with it.
I'll talk to you later.
God.
Where are we?
I think I understand what's
going on. Trying to determine what the loan is.
Well, what you asked me to do.
No, I'll question.
I guess the other thing that kind of bothers me about this, another thing that bothers me about this also, if you note the first paragraph in the Attorney General's deal, it is our understanding that a substitute bill for this bill may be prepared by the House State Affairs Committee, using 356 as a starting point. That's a very unusual thing, but I guess that's what the way the House conducts their business. I take exception to that a little bit, because we've worked with the House State Affairs in Taboot, so it's getting to be a real ball of snakes, really.
Mr. Chairman, perhaps we've fired the cannon. I'm not sure that we're aiming at the right target here. Because all they're talking about is Senate Bill 356, and what we're talking about is a committee substitute for Senate Bill 356.
288.
The 288, is that what we got?
No, I'm sorry, I got another
256.
One.
356. 356, so maybe that comments are on the original draft. One of the first original drafts, maybe that's what I did that.
Huh? I'm not sure.
Well, it just bothers me that the upshot of the whole thing with the APOC and the Attorney General's office.
They sit there all through the whole thing. Thela sat there and all the time up in Anchorage. She didn't seem to be all upset about it.
No, as a matter of fact, I thought she was in the... I thought they were all in accord with what we were doing.
They were kind of supportive of it.
They were supportive. They helped write it. I think it's a little embarrassing.
They've never liked the final product. It's been a long time since they liked the final product. They recommended vetoing the last bill when the legislature finally got through. On the other hand, we make the laws, they've got to follow them absolutely.
I hope so.
That's why I think we have to just keep it.
I hope that if we make the laws, they have to follow them. It doesn't seem like they have been lately.
Of course, Mr. Chairman, I hope that the present Attorney General doesn't take his activities from previous Attorney Generals who did. When they didn't like a bill, they say it's unconstitutional.
Oh,
certainly saved a lot of time, didn't it?
Okay, now that you okay.
Just remember that.
080, 080, what is your pleasure on that? Senator Fisher?
I don't know. I thought we took my pleasure. Mr. Chairman, my pleasure is to reduce the $250 to $100.
We're not there yet.
Don't do that to us again.
He asked me what my pleasure was.
Shall we delete this? Who's Jackie Purcell?
She's a reporter with KENI.
KENI?
What does she
want? We have a request that KENI in Anchorage wishes to record the committee meeting. I don't see any reason why they can't. They're perfectly willing to do so. It's a public meeting, so make your best shot. Come, Jackie.
All those bad things I said to
have. I'll certainly be happy to speak to my constituents.
Okay, what do you want to do about this? What do you want to do about this 080? Do you want to leave it the way it is, or do you want to delete it, or what, Senator DeVries?
Mr. Chairman, I believe if the committee. Thank you. I believe if the committee stands by their motion the other day, then a large portion of that would be deleted regarding the part talking about the loans. Is that not correct?
Mr. Chairman, I think if the commission is going to have any hope of enforcing a prohibition against loans, then you're going to have to have, they're going to know what loans are out there. And I think you're going to have to need a reporting provision on loans. Now, I may have misunderstood, because I wasn't here, I was saying the other day what the committee wanted. It was my understanding from talking to Abram and looking at his notes and talking to the chairman's staff that the committee did not mean to prohibit every single business loan that a candidate wanted to make during the course of a campaign, such as a loan for the candidate's business, a mortgage loan, and so forth.
No.
You didn't want to prohibit that. That's right. So if that's the case, there are going to be any number of loans that are going to be perfectly legitimate, even under the prohibition that the committee has voted to put in the bill. That being the case, the only way that the commission can enforce the prohibition is to know about all the loans coming to the candidate so that there's what I would propose to do in thinking about how to draft what the committee wanted, which I thought about some yesterday. I would add in the section on the type of information that has to be reported concerning loans, the purpose of the loan. And that way you'd have it out there, you know, on public record with a sworn statement that the purpose of the loan was a business purpose. That was, you know, I would recommend keeping the reporting.
Senator Ray, did you want the floor?
Excuse me, Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead.
My apologies to you. We're not interested in allowing public interest groups to make loans to a guy on his house. Nothing like that. I mean, so all this section is here, the 080, is that's what we're talking about, is enforced by political interest groups of contributions, yeah. Loans, and expenditures.
No, these are loans received by political interest group. Conceivably, a political interest group could go to a bank and get a loan for purposes of running whatever campaign they were running. This is loans received by political.
Chairman.
It's the previous section
deals with loans by
political interest groups.
Senator
and
Kelly,
I would propose to delete.
I don't know how you're going to write it, but I don't think
section.
Political interest. I don't think political interest groups should be able to loan money or borrow.
I don't either. Senator Fisher.
Mr. Chairman, I have a question to counsel. A body, be it a PAC or a candidate or anyone else, let's say order stationery, and they pay for the they make an arrangement to pay over a 3-month period at 18% interest. How would that be reported? Is that a loan? Is that an expenditure? Where does that fit in?
Technically, it's a loan because it's an extension of credit to the campaign. I was assuming that the committee did not want to prohibit those kinds of commercial transactions, even though it involved the campaign as such. And I am struggling with trying to draft language to deal with that.
Credit, same thing with credit cards.
Well, what I think that she's talking about is like you have two political interest groups that might be very closely affiliated, and one was out of money and it had collected and it made the contributions up to the limit, but the other one hadn't, so they want to lend that other one money in order for them to go ahead and decide.
Still would be $1,000 limit.
But I mean, what she's talking about is recording the loan from one to another, so we'll know you got a trail of where that money went. Is that what you're giving up?
As far as the leaving the reporting provision regarding loans in the
bill, it's all right.
All right.
It's okay.
Before we go any further, I would like to take care of some of the housekeeping amendments that the committee wanted. Amendment number one is on page 4, line 6. After commission, add the prohibitions against political activity by a member of the commission under H of this section apply to the executive director and non-clerical employees of the commission.
Why are we just saying non-clerical? You got some secretary that's the secretary treasurer of the political action group.
This is the commission itself. The APOC.
It's the APOC itself.
The bill prohibits members of the commission from belonging to or being active in political parties, from making contributions and that sort of thing.
Yeah, but it says also the executive director and all non-clerical employees shall have the same prohibition.
Right.
Well, what if you got a secretary? What
who's
if
non-clerical?
What if a file clerk is a non-clerical position? Is the secretary treasurer of the EPIC? Then what happens?
It should apply to all employees, in other words.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying, because it does with certain
apply to the executive director, clerical and non-clerical employees of the commission. Just
all
that cover everybody.
Have it to everybody. Why should
just executive director and employees of
right.
the commission?
Okay.
We can do
would I hear a motion to accept that?
Move it under the note.
Any objection? So ordered. Amendment number 2, page 15, line 16. This is on the affidavit of the persons involved. After a firm, add, to the best of my knowledge, because in this particular case you've got people that are volunteers as a treasurer, volunteers as people who collect money. And I don't think they ought to go up for a felony just because they took the job of being the campaign treasurer and made some type of an error without knowing it.
I don't know, but Mr. Chairman, if I could debate that just a little bit with you. I don't know if that's, is that a step off as you put to the best of my knowledge? I don't know if it makes any difference or not.
No, it doesn't.
I don't think it helps and I don't think it hurts because if a person can swear to something and say, and upon cross-examination, and you say, he's just the best of my knowledge.
You're always talking about his state of belief, his state of present belief.
Well, so you don't think that's necessary?
Not necessary. No.
Amendment number 3, on page 17, line 7, a candidate, again, after candidate, add a campaign treasurer and deputy campaign treasurer.
The wrong site, Mr. Chairman. I suspect we're supposed to be there in the 60s.
I'm sorry, it's on page 17, line 7, after the word candidate.
Mr. Chairman, obviously that's supposed to go somewhere else. It must have changed the bill.
No, you have the wrong bill, Senator.
Oh, I do?
Yeah, this is okay. This is the one we're using, the one that's on front. Is there one there? I did this. I worked all day yesterday on the same damn thing. Yeah, that's it there. In order to do that, a candidate or a political leader may not accept a contribution in the form of a cash payment. Well, either should a a campaign treasurer or a deputy campaign treasurer do that either. So it's better to leave it in there or put it in there, add it. Yes, Susan.
Mr. Chairman, excuse me. I think that throughout this bill, when we have prohibitions against candidates doing this or candidates doing that, candidates accepting anonymous contributions and, you know, candidates accepting contributions over $1,000, we have intended that to mean both the candidate as an individual and the officers of the candidate's campaign. Looking back at the definition of candidate, I think we may have glossed over that a little bit, but that was the intent. You know, candidate is both the individual and the generic term for the candidate's campaign and the officers. And I think if we make a note to change the definition of candidate at the very end, then we'll carry through on all of those sections.
Mr. Chairman, I think a serious problem has been identified. You go down further on the page to line 13, page 17, line 13. Except as provided in section such and such, a candidate may make expenditures of money, goods, and services on behalf of the candidate's own campaign without limitation. If the campaign treasurer and deputy treasurer can make donations on behalf of the candidate's own campaign, I'm going to get Wally Hickel appointed as my deputy campaign treasurer and have him make unlimited contributions.
He's already doing that for me.
You can't get it.
Well, if they're independent expenditures, you can do that anyway.
His expenditures.
What's his expenditures? And that's
right.
Well,
you have to donate, you have to contribute the money first before it can be expended.
Yeah.
On behalf of the candidate's campaign. He does it independently, but it doesn't matter.
Maybe we should have just said no person may accept a contribution in the form of a cash payment excess of $100 in aggregate during a year for any campaign, and then you got it. That's a set straight.
No person.
And you got everybody. You're covering everybody.
Right, interest group right here.
Well, that's a person.
Yeah. Well, sometimes it's yes and sometimes no. Somebody will find a little hole there.
You can take that person.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Could we remand this to counsel? Is that
yeah.
a legal term?
Yeah.
I think the intent is clear.
Yeah.
We can. Ms.
What
Gross, do you have any comments?
Through and check every time candidate is intended to mean only the individual candidate as individual human being and candidate as campaign.
Okay. Amendment number 4. And this is, I'm going to turn that over to counsel. Under what section should this be? The conflict of interest, executive director, non-clerical, but we've changed that also.
Yeah,
the same place, put it back at the beginning.
The intent, well, there are a couple of places that you can put it.
And you have on page 4 on line 6, after the section on the, page 4, line 6, after the section about that they're subject to the hatch act.
This is the fox keeping an inventory of the hen house, is that it?
That's exactly correct.
Okay.
All right.
Is there a conflict of interest in that?
We will put in that conflict of interest.
There are several places that you might put it, and you might even do it as a cross-reference. The bill includes a number of technical revisions to the conflict of interest of statutes because there are references to the campaign financing provisions in them. If the committee wants to make the director and the employee subject to filing conflict of interest statements, I would ask that you once again remand to us the best place to do that. And I can even check with Dick Bradley and see if
thoughts
are on the best. Senator Ray on what where the best location in the statute.
Okay, I'll do that to counsel on
the
that.
Committee just gives us the policy direction.
Okay.
Remand is such a
good motion. Oh, yeah, I need a motion on that.
Move the adopt amendment number 4. Asking that.
Get the removal of non-clerical.
Any objections? Amendment's been adopted.
So have we deleted non-clerical from this?
Yes.
Did you make it a felony?
Let's Let's make that a felony. Give them something to really worry about. Well, all right.
So we now we need to go back to the I'll
tell you, we're just going to be
short. Okay, we're back on 11. We're moving this now. Let's go to 12.
All right, let's move to is there anything in section 11?
Can I ask just one general thank you. I guess this section regarding loans to the PACs, you know, is sort of a surprise to me. I didn't realize that activity was going on out there. In your research, is that happening? Does that happen very often?
No, I don't think. I think the woman here yesterday or 2 days ago mentioned the same thing. That, you know, to her knowledge and to mine, the PACs just don't go and get loans.
Yeah. Okay. I don't want to change the section, but I was just curious.
The situation where it arises is a candidate that's starting up his campaign that doesn't have any money that goes and borrows, you know, $50,000 from himself or someone else. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you.
Clarification on page 13, Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead, Senator.
Just a hypothetical question.
What are you
referring to? Statement by persons making contribution or expenditure. A person who makes a contribution of $250 or more. What if it's $100 in cash and $150 in a check?
Same thing.
It's in the aggregate.
But it don't say that.
Where are you? Person that lent, no?
No, a person who makes a contribution
to $13,000
or more. $13,000. I mean, is it covered someplace else? The aggregate sum covered someplace else? If not, just put the word in the aggregate.
Yeah, okay. You know,
we'd need it all the way through then.
Yeah, true.
It is in most other places. I don't know.
You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
All right. Okay.
That's right.
Anything further on page 13 under statement by persons making contribution or expenditures? Let's go to 14. Independent expenditures.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Excuse me, going back, there is one other place where aggregate amounts does not appear, and this comes up again. I want to, in the other area, however, it was something that we had done consciously. On page 10, lines 3 through 9, this is the 24-hour report that has to be filed within 10 days before the election if someone gives you a contribution of a certain amount of money. We did not do that in the aggregate for this reason. We thought in the heat of the last week of the campaign, it would be difficult for campaign treasurers to figure out whether something of $500 was an aggregate amount.
They couldn't do it.
That's what I thought. So we do not have aggregate in that section, but I wanted to point that out.
I think you've done a good job on the independent expenditure.
I'd like to. Where have you? Okay, I do have a question on this. By an on line 12, political expenditure by a candidate, or by an agent of the candidate. Where have we defined agent other than an agent of the candidate? I think that's too broad.
What?
In other words...
The definition, Senator, excuse me, is starting on line 28, page 14. This is a definition that we took largely from federal law. That doesn't mean it's the ideal, but that's where...
Well, you can't, because suppose you're running a campaign and you get four or five campaign workers there and you say, hey, go down there and take this ad down and put it in the paper. One of your campaign workers, and he takes the ad down and he okays it. I mean, you can't specify each and every guy who's going to be responsible for it.
No, that's not what the definition is. A person who has the authority to say within the campaign, or you would expect would have the authority to say, we have X amount of money in the campaign treasury, and I think we ought to spend $10,000 on media ads, and I am authorizing that expenditure of those funds. you know, the idea is someone who is relatively high up in the organization of the campaign who would have that authority. In most instances, it's just going to be campaign.
I want a question. I want to ask a question. If my campaign media consultant who happens to take, and I hire him and I pay him to handle my campaign, and he says, how much money do I have to spend? And I need $12,000 for my TV. I want to put these ads in. He draws them up. He's the one that contracts to have it done, not me.
But you have authorized the expenditure.
I've authorized him to make those expenditures. Is he my agent?
No.
According to this.
Not under this definition. He might well be your agent.
He should be.
He might well be your agent under subsection B, who is, or within 1 year before the date of the expenditure, has been receiving compensation or reimbursement from the candidate or from campaign funds for professional services that require the exercise of discretion or judgment relating to the conduct of the campaign. That's your media consultant, not your agent.
Well, then an officer.
You got a very complex thing there. Is the candidate responsible for everything that happens within his campaign?
No, that's a very different question. That is not what the section is about. That is not what the section is about.
That's what Mitch is getting at.
No. I want to warn the committee this very clearly and on the record. This section is going to be a nightmare, without a doubt about it. We have to make this distinction. As I say, you know, this is another one of those things where, you know, when you keep the limit on, this becomes a major issue, right? This has never been enforced on a federal level. Never. They have had several proceedings started. They have just dissipated into smoke. Because in the end, people come in and say, hey, I did it independently. They sign an affidavit, and that's that. You know, and everybody may know from certainty, you know, that they didn't, but there's no way to prove it. But the Constitution requires that, you know, you make this distinction between an expenditure made under the direction of a campaign, which is limited, and an independent expenditure, which by law may not be limited. All right? So, you know, I warn you that no matter how you write this, it's going to be next to impossible to enforce, and 10 years of experience on a federal level teaches us that if the language didn't end it by itself. Because in the end, it boils down to a question of intent, and people, you know, in campaigns are swapping information back and forth all the time. And to suggest, you know, that somehow you're going to be able to draw a line down and say independent, non-independent, is fooling yourself. And the difficulty is that this allows the potential for selective enforcement. But it is required by the Constitution, so that's that. I mean, there isn't any option.
It has to be in the law.
You must clarify, if you are going to limit the amount of money that may be contributed, you must clarify that independent expenditures or contributions may not be limited. That's what the Supreme Court requires.
No, I think that.
Let me point out. I know where this came from. I know what they're trying to do, and I don't approve of this action. Number one, if I can't go out and hire Joe Blow, who is an expert in the media field, to handle my media, in other words, he places it, he helps write it, he is not an agent of mine, he's not in my campaign, he's totally separate from my campaign. All he does, and the way he makes his money is, he gets 15% click on everything that he buys from the media. That's how he makes his money. All I do is pay him for the actual cost of it. Now that cost factor has the percentage in there. I pay him X number of dollars, he deducts 15% of that, and that belongs to him or his corporation. Now this guy can also handle four or five other people, not just me. But he is not an agent of each one of these campaigns, and shouldn't be.
No, it isn't an agent, but if you want to correct that, then you say that the candidate is responsible for all the activities of the campaign. Then, in other words, the candidate must approve anything that goes out and be responsible.
Now let me pose a question. Suppose now that your opponent hired your man to do something for him without your knowledge, and he does it. And it has to do with the defeat of your opponent. then you should be responsible for that? And that's what this whole thing is about.
Well, then you say that you can only work for one campaign. You can't work for two campaigns.
No, you can't. The man's a private industry.
What did I say? What the hell?
Mr. Chairman, excuse me. This section is not about... It has nothing to do with whether a candidate has any knowledge or any responsibility for knowledge about the campaign, getting to a political interest group or an individual who wants to make an independent expenditure. We are focusing only on the person who makes the expenditure and looking at how they came about getting information in order to decide how to do the independent expenditure. If it's too mixed up with people who have intimate knowledge about the candidate's campaign, then you begin to say, well, wait a minute, is that really an absolutely independent expenditure, or should that be treated as a contribution? This is only trying to distinguish between when an individual or person or political interest group makes a contribution to the campaign and when it is a totally independent expenditure. It is under this, it is not independent if it is made in cahoots with someone who is sharing information about the candidate's campaign. It does not place any responsibility on the candidate if that happens. The candidate may or may not be responsible depending upon the involvement of the individual candidate. But it doesn't say that. I don't know if I'm making it clear what the section does. And the reason, as we said, you have to make that distinction is because the U.S. Supreme Court has said you cannot constitutionally put dollar limitations on the amount that a person wants to spend independently.
But you can interpret it for line 14, line 23. Who is or within 1 year before the date of the expenditure has been receiving any form of compensation or reimbursement from the candidate or from campaign funds for professional services that require the exercise of discretion or judgment relating to the conduct of the campaign. Now, when I hire somebody to place my media, he has to recommend to me, use this type of an ad, use this kind of language, do this, do that. This is the way I want you to show up on television. He does have an impact on my campaign for my image, for whatever I'm doing. He is not a member of my campaign. He is a paid consultant. Now then, where do we go from there? You mean to tell me that no matter what he does with Bill Ray over here, that I'm responsible?
No. This is reporting.
No. The
this
only issue with money. Bill Ray is whether Bill Ray would be making a contribution to your campaign if he went out and spent $5,000 on a Let's Elect Mitch Abboud. Using that consultant, the consultant says, well, you know, we're really trying to project this kind of image of Senator Abboud. This is what we're trying to do, and you know, he's really in trouble. He needs a lot more radio ads, and he's running out of money, and you know, your $1,000 was real helpful, but it wasn't quite enough. What we need is a big, you know, $10,000 independent ad in favor of Senator Abboud, and here's what it ought to look like. And I'm telling you this because of what I know about Senator Abboud's campaign. Now, there's a real question in my mind under those circumstances as to whether, you know, Senator Ray here with his $12,000 is in effect making a contribution to your campaign, which under this law is limited to $2,000. You have nothing to do with this. You're sitting back happy as anything, you know, delighted to get whatever help you can without any knowledge that your consultant is sharing information about the needs of your campaign, what would be good for your campaign, with someone else for purposes of making a so-called independent expenditure, which in the mind of the person doing it is really so closely connected with your campaign that in effect it's a contribution.
You know, in other words, if I come on strong with the money that his guy gave me, and I'm saying it's an independent expenditure, because I say Senator Abboud is the best thing since sliced bread.
Thank you, Senator Ray.
And I make it appear like it's my money that I'm spending. That's what you're talking about.
It's not so much money. I'm not suggesting that the media consultant is giving you, passing the money through to you.
Oh, they're using my name.
No, using your money.
No, using your money. It's your money. He's giving you information about the candidate's campaign that allows you to use that money so effectively that it might just as well be a contribution directly to that candidate's campaign. That's what this section is.
So what if him and I are opponents, and the same guy is feeding me material?
that's an issue between you and the media consultant. You know, I mean, that's a terrific breach of professional ethics, and I assume if it gets out, that person will never get hired again.
I would never stop them.
But
well, I can understand that.
That is a different problem.
I can understand that if I had information on my opponent and I went to him and I says, get this thing out through somebody. That would be wrong. That would be wrong, and I would agree that it is wrong. But where...
No, but what about the person who wants to get money to your campaign? You don't know anything about this. You know, I have $12,000 in my account, and there's nothing I want better to do with it than to use it to get you elected. And I want to get you elected so badly. I mean, I can't give it to you directly, right? I can only give you $2,000. Mm-hmm. But, so I go talk to your, you know, pollsters, and I talk to your media consultant, and I say, tell me, what does Mitch really need to get elected? How's his campaign going? What's his strategy? What kind of ads is he trying to do? I mean, what's the whole theme of the campaign here? And if I get enough of that kind of information, it is virtually equivalent to my having given you that contribution directly. You haven't received it. You're not on the hook for having received it. You have nothing to do with it.
And I knew nothing about it.
And you knew nothing about it.
And yet I'm guilty.
No, you are not. There's nothing in this section that
she is
anything on the candidate. I'm guilty as the person who exceeded the contribution limitation. You are not.
If they
unless there's evidence, you know, that you orchestrated the whole thing. If you didn't, and it's just me saying, wait a minute, I know that he's working with old so-and-so over here, and I'm just going to find out, you know, what is really going on in the campaign. I'm the one who is on the hook, right?
An additional $5,000, because that's the going price.
No, it goes down to $1,900
and
something.
It's not $1,900? Okay.
Everyone ends up speaking from their personal experience.
Well, after all, I think all of us have personal experiences that's caused this thing to come about. Selective enforcement, et cetera, et cetera.
Absolutely.
So this is what we've got to address, to keep the selective enforcement from being enforced.
Well,
and getting on...
Write that down.
The difficulty, too, is you don't have a definition in the statute. The commission, in order to comply with constitutional requirements, is going to come up with its own definition.
We understand.
All right. So this protects the candidate in your opinion. This protects the candidate in your opinion.
So long as the candidate is not involved himself in the sharing of the
evidence. I see.
Okay. All you got to do is swear. I know nothing.
I don't see nothing. And it's the truth. Okay. Are we through with that particular section? Something about it. I'm not sure. I think we're missing something here. That I don't know what it is right now. We'll get to it later. Probably. Certification of reports. Campaign treasurer of the candidate by the campaign treasurer of political interest group or by a person making a report, registration, or statement must include the following statement. I do solemnly swear, affirm, etc. Any questions on that? In most cases, in many, many cases, you do find it to the best of my ability. You find that in the courtroom all the time, too.
Okay.
What would be the harm in putting this?
Nothing wrong with putting it. I'm just saying it's probably assumed in the
gives a little bit more protection to the treasurer, who is
it may make someone who it doesn't understand all of the ins and outs.
That's right. And there are many of those that come into the system like that, and really, I don't think it's fair to have him swear on the Bible that he's... And then if he said, well, geez, I didn't know that much of it, you know, I didn't get that deep, he's got a felony charge on him because he swore under oath.
I don't think it makes any substantive change, but to the extent it clarifies, it may be desirable. So let's put it.
In the next section, contributions by a person.
Okay, can we complete this other one, though?
I thought we were done with that.
Could we put something in there? Yeah. Do you would the committee feel comfortable in putting that into the best of my ability here? Because it's a personal statement.
Best of my knowledge.
Best of my knowledge. Yeah. Let's put that in. There's no objection to that. Let's go on, contributions by a person.
Mr. Chairman, after middle of night reflections and contemplations and talking to my esteemed colleagues, in particular my friend from Anchorage here, I've had a change of heart and I don't think they should have any more than $1,000.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Fisher.
I would like to support Senator Ray in this position. With the situation that we have under the provision now, a person may not contribute more than $2,000 in the aggregate during a calendar year, I think creates a really almost nonsensical situation where a political interest group is limited to $1,000. However, a corporation, a company, a partnership, firm, association, organization, business trust, or society, as well as a natural person, may give $2,000. Mr. Chairman, there is a real absence of logic, so far as I'm concerned, when a corporation can give $2,000 directly to a candidate, but a PAC formed by that corporation can only give $1,000. And so, Mr. Chairman, I certainly go along with the $1,000.
There has been a poll taken, you might know, just a matter of your information. It was a Dittman poll taken. Regardless of who did it, you might want to know the information. 68% of the people favored the poll, favored the $2,000.
Mr. Chairman,
please take the chair.
Mr. Chairman, it all depends on how the question was asked, as Senator Sackett pointed out recently. There was also a poll that, according to the Finance Committee co-chair, Senator Fakes, said 53% of people favor an increase in oil taxes, and that doesn't mean the legislature is going to run out and increase oil taxes.
Abram, didn't the APOC go on record one time for the increase from $1,000 to $2,000?
Actually, I think it was to $2,500.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, certainly, I think that everybody...
Which would have been across the board for everybody.
Yeah, that wasn't just... That was political interest groups as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think that everybody has an opportunity to examine their conscience and understand what they're doing, and that's what I've done. And I've listened to my own constituency, and... I've come to the conclusion that we should make it even, either $2,000 for everybody or $1,000, and as we only have $1,000 for political interest groups, which is satisfactory to me, then I believe that the personal contribution should only be $1,000, and I so move.
Mr. Chairman, do we need a second?
Madam Chair.
Madam Chair, I might point out that there's a letter floating around, I understand, from the Commission. By the commission members, not by theater, to the chair and members of this committee, in which the commission states, the commission members state, that whereas once upon a time the commission proposed to increase at this time, this is the best recollection I have of that letter, the commission members are not unanimous with respect to increasing the limit. I believe that's the gist of it.
What we have is a motion by Senator Ray to reduce the $2,000 back to $1,000. We're having discussion. We haven't voted on it yet.
Ask Crawford's question, Mr. Chairman.
The question is, so the $2,000 be reduced down to $1,000 and left the way it has been in the past.
Right.
I presume that's what it is. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Can I ask
aye.
A poll, please?
A poll?
Yeah. Individual.
We'll take a voice.
Sure.
We'll call. Senator DeVries?
No.
Senator Fisher?
Yes.
Senator Ray?
Yes.
Senator Kelly?
For the world. No. Put your mic on.
Senator Abood, no. Motion's failed.
Mr. Chairman?
Yeah, what letter was that, Senator Fisher, they wrote?
I had seen a letter. My staff was giving me a copy of the letter.
I know the committee hasn't received one.
1028 letter to Honorable Muchimu, Chair. Dear Senator Boone, members of the committee.
What's the date, please?
Oh, it's October 28, 1985.
I've never seen a letter on that. It's prompted me.
Mr. Chairman,
it may be in the files, but I haven't seen it.
Mr. Chair, staff corrects me that reference was to the elimination of the $1,000 limit. I misread the letter by mistake.
So what are they saying? That they do?
They're not unanimous in removing the limit.
In recent years, the Commission has supported an increase in the existing $1,000 limit to $2,000. Several of us continue to feel such would be desirable simply because of the effects, but we cannot support abolishing any limit whatsoever. That was my mistake.
Oh, okay.
Mr. Chairman, we stand.
Senator Fisher.
I stand corrected. Mr. Chairman, I would like to move on line change on line 24 to delete person and insert individual.
Where are you?
On page 15, okay. Line 24, delete person, substitute individual. So the limit, the $2,000 contribution, would apply to individuals rather than corporations and others. And if this were adopted, I would then propose, Mr. Chairman, that the $1,000 limit apply to corporations, companies, partnerships, firms, associations, organizations, business trust, or societies, and societies. Do you follow what I'm saying?
Try it again.
In other words, sure. you're limiting the corporations, et cetera, that you just wrote, that you just read. You're limiting those people to 1,000, yet the individual can give 2,000.
Right, Mr. Chairman. In other words, what I would then propose is that the individual be permitted to give 2,000, an individual human being, whereas corporations, partnerships, and firms, and the same limit applied to them as would political action committees, so that a labor union wouldn't be able to get 2,000 as a labor union, and if they have a PAC, they could only get 1,000.
That doesn't make any sense.
Makes an awful lot of sense to me.
Brought in the word human being.
Individual, Mr. Chairman.
Homo sapien ought to be in there too, then we're going to use that. Mr. Gross.
Mr. Chairman, could I make a suggestion? That Mr. Gross restrain himself from referring to removal of the limit altogether.
I'm going to refer to it, but not in a way that Senator Fisher anticipates. I think that, you know, nobody in this room has been more of an advocate, obviously, of lifting the limits in this thing than I have. And that, you know, I've over and over again said why. But the two purposes that we were after, one of them was to basically get away from APOC regulation and the kind of distinctions APOC is going to have to make in interpreting this law once you have limits on contributions. And the second one was to encourage direct giving by individuals rather than through PACs. Now, having said all that and being unable to convince the committee of that purpose, I have to say that I think, in all honesty, it makes more sense to keep the limits down strictly across the board, because it's not going to do any good to lift it to $2,000 as a practical matter. APOC is still going to be making the same rulings and regulations as to what's a contribution and what isn't a contribution, whether it's $1,000 or not $2,000. If you lifted the limit, you could do away with that kind of regulation. But if the decision of the committee is they're willing to accept that kind of regulation, then my suggestion is that you keep the, and the difference between 1,000 and 2,000 isn't going to really make any huge difference in the way people contribute money. They'll still give it individually and you know, and they'll form multiple PACs and do one thing or another. If you lifted the limits entirely, you do away with the problem of creating PACs. But if you're not going to do that, then it seems to me the simplest method of enforcing this bill or having a bill is put it $1,000 or $2,000 across the board, because the kind of distinctions you're making aren't going to make a difference. They're just going to make it more complicated. I have to refer to it. I did refer to it.
That in this case, it was a constructive.
I thought.
Well, to me,
I'm glad you've seen the light.
To me, the $2,000 across the board seems adequate. And it seems just as good as reducing it.
That's fine. All I'm saying is that if you're going to, I don't see any reason for distinguishing between PACs and individuals.
Now then, be that the case, the suggestion of Senator Fisher by changing the word person to individual is rather moot in that particular sense. Am I correct there?
No, because what happened is right now you have a bill where an individual can contribute, or a person, including corporation, individual, can contribute $2,000. Political interest groups can only contribute 1,000. And my point is that, and Senator Fisher's point is that in some cases it's not a rational distinction. And my point is that you've lost the purpose of making that distinction if you're only going to go 1,000, 2,000. If you're going to go 1,000 and unlimited, you know, then you could really have a policy impact. If you're not, it's just going to make, you know, a minor distinction, and I don't think, you know, it's worth creating all the turmoil you're going to create with it. That's my, I would make it 2,000, either 2,000 across the board or 1,000 across the board.
Do that.
One or the other. If you want 2,000, make it 2,000 for everybody.
She's right. Otherwise, every time you get a check, you have to worry about whether it's a tax
or
a
what. Yeah, right, or a business or something. Or so then we need to change line 28, right?
I move that we make it 2,000 across the board for individuals, corporations, or whatever it turns out to be.
Political interest.
The motion is to accept it 2,000 across the board for all. I'll take
whose
a roll call.
Was that? Whose motion was that, Mr. Chairman?
I made that. Am I allowed to make that motion?
No, I thought I had a motion on the floor, but...
Oh, I'm sorry. You did have a motion. The motion was?
To substitute the word individual for person in line 24.
Then that would change, then, necessarily what we were attempting to do across the board, or does it go in
cross-purposes.
Cross-purposes.
Mr. Chairman, you say we. I'm not sure who the we is. At this point, Mr. Chairman, my preference is still for $1,000 limit.
Well, that's been established.
Mr. Chairman, may I finish, please?
Sure.
If there's going to be any waiver, I would prefer to leave the 2,000 for individuals only and apply 2,000 to everyone else, because I don't think there'd be a real problem distinguishing between corporations.
I think you misspoken.
Mr. Chairman, my point is still to keep the $1,000 limit on PACs, corporations, labor unions, and everyone. And if you want the $2,000 limit, apply the $2,000 to individuals, and it's easy to distinguish a check received from an individual and a check received from a corporation or a PAC.
You reinstate your motion then, please.
Mr. Chairman, I move that at page 15, line 24, the word person be changed to individual. Ask unanimous consent.
Object. We'll take a roll call vote. All in favor of the amendment. I'm sorry. Take a roll call vote. Senator DeVries?
No.
Senator Fisher?
Yes.
Senator Ray?
No.
Senator Kelly?
No.
Senator Abood? No. Motion's failed.
What about a conceptual amendment on across the board?
Everything no.
Would you care to make that? Would you care to make that motion, please?
No, I wouldn't care.
To Mr. Chairman.
Sir.
This is a clarification. Is on line 24. Is the 2,000 still 2,000?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. Then I would make the motion to change the 2,000 to 1,000.
I thought we already.
We have already made a motion to change it to 2.
Vic only had the words an individual. I believe an individual 2,000.
No. May I correct the committee, please? We made a. We voted to move it to 1,000 off 2,000, and it was defeated.
Oh, I've got it solidly on the record. Nobody's going to care.
Okay.
So it's all right the way it is, then? Council, is that the way we want it?
Yes, but as I understood the substance of the conversation, just for our help and as we go through this, it seems to me that what you've been talking about is this. It would help to have a conceptual vote, I think, as to whether or not you want the same limits on PACs as there are on individual contributions. And then right now,
that's the next part.
Yeah, so I'm saying, but it's going to come up over and over again. It's going to come up in that.
So, would you give up?
If you want them the same, then you should decide whether you want them to be 1,000 or 2,000. Right now, it's 2,000 for one, 1,000 for another.
I think we've just gotten through stating and that we wanted it to be across the board.
Well, we haven't taken any vote on it.
That's what I want to be sure of.
We haven't voted on it yet.
But which board is it?
Yeah, which board? The 1,000 board or the 2,000 board?
Well, that's what I would keep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Did you want to vote again on 1,000 or 1,000?
No.
I'm going to vote just then whether you want it across the board and then whether you want it at 1,000 or 2,000.
What you're saying is that why don't you say that you want to change the line 28, change the 2,000 or the 1,000 to 2,000 and you have it?
No, because that's a political. That's a donation.
It shows up all through
that's
the bill,
right.
Senator. I thought if you just take the vote out, we'll clear all that up. But
have
it however you want.
It's a donation to them, not from them.
Senator Kelly?
Mr. Chairman, Abram is absolutely correct. This doesn't make any sense that artificial difference, and it's just going to create all kinds of havoc and trouble. So if we're going to go 2,000, which has been supported by most of the members of the APSC in the past, then I suggest that we go across the board, and I would so move.
Well, I object to that, and if you're trying to sell me on what the rest of the board of the APOC says, you have a losing argument. If you want to bring somebody,
I don't always
bring some other argument in on it, all right.
Well, you might listen, be swayed by some other argument.
Yeah, but that wouldn't do it.
Well, it appears that it kind of has the appearance that this is probably one of the few places that the APOC and this committee has agreed on.
Mr. Chairman, is there a motion?
There is a motion to go across. There is a motion on the floor to make 2,000 across the board.
For everything.
For everything.
But, so you change the 1,000?
Including cash contributions. Including cash contributions.
No, because that's spelled out in another section. No. You can only give $100 in cash.
But Mr. Chairman, I would like to say that I do maintain my support of a limit on political action committee total aggregate contributions every year.
Well, that'd be $2,000.
No,
that's a different
that's over here on line 14 on page 16. Line 14 on page 16.
Against my motion.
$25,000. Well, let's wait till we get to that one, because there's some controversy about that $25,000 limit.
Would you like to go on record?
There is a motion. There is a motion on the floor to accept the $2,000. Yeah. There is an objection. Right. We shall vote. Right. Roll call.
Across the board, we're talking about.
Excellent. Senator DeVries?
Yes.
Senator Fisher?
No.
Senator Ray?
No.
Senator Kelly?
Yes.
Senator Abood? Yes. Motion is passed. Well, it just so happened it turned out that way. All right, let us. Is that line 27 on through the end of page 15? Is that still appropriate at this point, Avon? You will change all of the.
Yes, we'll pick that up now.
All right, thank you. Let's go to then.
On line 14, page 16, that's a controversial figure, 25,000. Was it my understanding that that is an arbitrary figure by the committee and is not a constitutional requirement or congressional requirement?
That's right. That's correct. And I think that to the extent, I think that Senator Fisher suggested this, but we provided some, he asked us, I think, what the federal limit was. We were under the impression, I think, that there was a federal limit on. We checked that subsequently. You know, we said we weren't sure. We checked it subsequently. There is no federal limit. So I think this may have been a result of misinformation.
Senator Fisher.
Mr. Chairman, in view of counsel's statement, I would move that we delete language on page 16, starting in line 13, at the end of line 13, with the word and in May, through the end of the paragraph.
Object, Mr. Chairman?
There is an objection, Senator Kelly.
So my understanding is what Senator Fisher is moving is that we delete the limit that a political action committee can only donate $25,000 in aggregate during a year to campaigns, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Well, I object to that, Mr. Chairman, because one of the things we're trying to do in this bill is limit the influence of political action committees on politics in this state. And I'm surprised that Senator Fisher would remove a provision like this that has the effect of limiting the influence of political action committees.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Kelly just swayed me, and I will withdraw my motion at this time. In the future, I may move to reduce the 25 to 10. I think his argument was very well taken.
Why don't we reduce it to 2,000? Everything is across the board. Well, Mr. Chairman,
Senator Ray,
on line 12. The
I leave it in there.
The 1,000 still stays?
That will be changed. Every time you see 1,000, change it to 2.
That won't be around long.
Yeah, but that's an expenditure, not a contribution.
Make a contribution or an expenditure other than an independent expenditure. And we went through that under independent expenditures. An expenditure that's not an independent expenditure.
Okay, so this is still a contribution.
It's a contribution.
All right. So that's 2,000. Just so to clarify it.
Is there
anybody
motion?
Want to vote to make that 1,000?
Is there any
sure.
Is there any motion to reduce the 25,000 to 10?
No.
To 2? To 1? To nothing? We should go on. Anything further on page 16? 17, F. Senator Fisher?
No. Not to the bottom of the page.
15-14-040, limitations on accepting cash contributions. That's still $100, expenditures, etc. Any questions on that?
That seems silly, $100 is, what's the active, what's the arbitrary figure? Is it a $100 bill or what? Is that what it is? Why $100?
You've got to keep that.
What is the reasoning? What is the reasoning with $100? Somebody could help me.
Paper trail, because there isn't any. Cash is put in your pocket. There's no paper trail like a check or like there's nothing. You just take the money and put it in your pocket. Of course, if you want to blow your whole reputation for 100 months, I guess you're welcome to do so.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Senator DeRee.
I sort of agree with Senator Ray. I think if someone's going to be dishonest regarding cash, it doesn't make any difference what the limit is. You know, I mean, if they want to accept cash from somebody and this law says 100 or 1,000, they're still going to accept it and you're not going to know about it. So, and I know this was, the commission was really strong on this and we're already at odds with them on many other things, but to me, if somebody's honest, it's, you know, whether it's 100 or 1,000, they're still going to be honest about it.
Senator Fisher.
Mr. Chairman, is Senator DeRee's proposing to raise this to 1,000 or 2,000, which she can make a motion?
No, I'm not.
But
I
it's still bringing me back to the hypothetical question, and we went into this once before, and I still am satisfied, and perhaps I have a block something. A political action group goes to its membership and says, we want contributions of $100 a piece from 100 people. So they give them $100 and it's all in cash. It's individual contributions that are less than $100, or $100 or less. And they take that sum of $15,000 that they've collected in $100 bills and give it to a candidate. Is there a paper trail to that? Isn't that entirely legal, or is it? Why not?
You're supposed to keep records who you get the contributions to, whether cash or not.
Well, that's not correct.
No, if the Political Action Committee takes in those contributions, and the Political Action Committee then makes the decision as to who, which candidates they vote to.
No. There is no, they didn't make any decision at all. Each one of them tell the guy, each one of them with $100 say, I want to give $100 to Victor Fisher. And they each give Victor Fisher $100 in cash to an aggregate figure of $15,000, but no contribution was more than $100 in cash. And they just pass it to him. There's no paper trail, there's nothing. It's just $15,000 of cash goes to him, and that's all there is to it.
That's a conduit issue. That's not the cash. That's not really going to whether there should be a cash contribution. What we have not done in the conduit section that perhaps we ought to do is make it clear that the exemptions for conduits don't apply to being a conduit of cash contributions. We can do that, and that makes good sense.
You know what I'm saying?
I know exactly what you're saying. That makes good sense.
You know, you can tell your membership.
Sure.
Off the record, you guys, this is the candidate that we're going to support. However, we're not going to tell you how to give the money. If you want to, you come and give us the money and tell us that you want us to give it to Victor Fisher. And this guy comes with a $100 bill. And he gets $15,000 cash with no trail nothing. He gets 15 grand.
Then it's up to the...
And it's really, a political action group is really putting the pressure on, and they're the ones making the direction, although it's perfectly...
Then it would be up to the discretion or the integrity of Victor Fisher to make a note that he received the money in his campaign.
From who?
From 150 separate individuals.
Right, yeah. That's all you have to put on.
50 people.
Yeah, but then what? Come on.
It's not my issue.
Well,
leave me out of it.
Mr. Gross,
you just give you
something you wish to say. Okay, this one. Expenditures. Anything underneath that section? Section 160.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Fisher.
On line 28, when I got there, I had to turn the page, and on page 21, I found 15-14-281. And it seems to me, Mr. Chairman, while it would be slightly longer, it would be better if the line 28 read, contributions shall be donated to an organization that qualifies as a charitable organization under 26 U.S.C. 501c, rather than a cross-reference to something four pages later.
Mr. Gross, do you have a comment?
Good comment.
It's a what?
It's a good suggestion.
Good, let's follow it.
Thank you. I'll come tonight.
You know, we're really, if anybody is laboring under the idea that this is going to be a perfect instrument, it's so bad that it's good. I don't blame anybody for wanting to throw up when I read it.
Well, it wasn't that way before it was amended.
Before it was amended, it was a clever, clever, very confident amendment.
We amended the cleverness right out. Yeah.
We sure did.
Okay. Let's go on to prohibited contributions. Are there any questions under prohibited contributions?
Just back up to the expenditures, just for a second.
All right, go ahead.
On line 16, a political interest group may make an independent expenditure, and there is no way that they can make it. That's a weak spot right there.
Talk to the U.S. Supreme Court.
That's a bad one. Nothing we can do, I guess.
Well, take them on, Senator Ring.
Okay,
let's go on down through prohibited. Let me ask a question. Throughout this, is there anything in the bill that states that if I received a contribution, it was sent to me in the mail, and I question the contribution as to maybe it's an unknown, maybe it's just something of that nature. It wouldn't mean that I had received it until I took some kind of action to put it into my campaign. In other words, could I hold that check for, we'll say, 3 weeks or a month or whatever it turned out to be, because I still had questions on it. It would not be received, per se, would it?
At the top of page 18, what we have, we finally took out the sections that made a big deal about when a contribution was received or accepted, because it just got very confusing. So what we decided to do instead, the only real question that relates to is on these prohibited contributions. So what we have provided in this bill is that a prohibited contribution is considered to have been accepted and you're in big trouble unless you return it or donate it within 10 days after you actually knew or you should have known that it was prohibited.
It shouldn't be over $100.
Now then, what?
It shouldn't be over $100.
Well, when you go...
Somebody send you a $20 bill, you're supposed to...
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I understand what you mean, but in theory, if you know it's an illegal contribution, it shouldn't make any difference.
No, anonymously is what I'm saying. When somebody sends you $20 in a letter and don't sign it, then you're supposed to run over and make this big thing out of it.
Oh, this is disposing of the contribution.
Yeah, if it was over $100...
Well, what are you supposed to do with it?
Well, if it was more than $100, send it away. If it was less than $100, which is a cash deal, which is, you don't have to make a report on anyway, do you?
To no such thing.
So you can keep...
If it's $100, you can keep it.
Well, you could get into a situation, if you wanted to get around this law, of course, where you could sit down and just address to Bill Ray, 50 letters with $98 in them.
But you could do that with $100 anyway. You can do it with $100 anyway. You have to report that you received an anonymous contribution of $100.
But
I'm not trying to make it tough, but I'm just saying that to keep it uniform.
Under the present law, Mr. Gross, under the present law, if there's a parent organization and there are four